Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Linking education with a healthy economy, a group of Utah business leaders are issuing a plan to bolster schools and a challenge to state lawmakers to make it happen. Joining me now to talk about the vision and goals of Prosperity 2020 is Dr. Rich Kendall. He is the former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education who serves as the education advisor to the movement Prosperity 2020. He's also a professor of education, leadership, and policy at the University of Utah. And Dr. Kendall, thanks so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Hopefully, a little bit later, we've had some technical issues with our interview with Ted Neely, talking about Jesus Christ Superstar, the local production in Park City, where he'll be starring later this week. Hope we can get that online, but a little bit later in the hour. But first, we're going to be talking about education in the state of Utah. If you have questions or comments about the Prosperity 2020 plan, give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Dr. Kendall, whose idea is Prosperity 2020? Tell us who is part of this movement and how you got started.
Well, it's like a lot of movements. It's kind of a snowball rolling downhill. You know, it started with brainstorming of a few business leaders with the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce and the observation that if we're going to have a better future for everybody, a better economy, better quality of life, it's going to be tied directly to the quality of education in our state. And after several of these kind of informal conversations, it was decided that some formal effort needed to be organized to try to forecast a better future and to say, what kind of an education do we need to provide for the people of Utah to achieve that better future? So kind of started with the Salt Lake Chamber, then became an entity in its own right, and Prosperity 2020 is now an independent organization, but it's made up of business leaders, chambers of commerce, and a variety of members throughout the state of Utah.
Would you say it's dozens of people? Is it hundreds of people? I'm trying to get a sense of what the scale is.
Well, the Founders Council, which is the original organized kind of governing body of this, is about 25 people, 25 organizations, and many of the chambers of commerce from, you know, throughout Utah. But there are also a variety of other people. So I'd say it's in the neighborhood of 25 to 30 people. But you can extend that out because they're made up, again, of additional people. And so there's probably hundreds of people behind this movement. And I think we see it as a movement, as a kind of initiative.
Okay. Your group is labeling education and higher ed the most urgent priority facing the state. Why do you say that, the most urgent priority?
Well, we think any vision of the future carries with it some notion of an improved education for everybody. And we are hoping that people will see the incredible value of education and the quality of their lives. So if you look at any forecast of the economy in Utah, it's a high-skilled world. It's an education-intensive world. If you look at the governor's economic development clusters, I mean, it's aerospace, it's medical devices, it's energy, it's alternative energy. These are not things that you learn just on the job. These are the kinds of things that require high skill and knowledge kind of intensive education. And so we're just acknowledging what the future might look like. And we think it's the great infrastructure. I mean, states need roads, yes. They need waterways, yes. They need an international airport, yes. But they need a high-quality system of education to propel themselves into the future. So
we're going to get to many of the specifics as we go. But just generally, what are the goals here? What does this group want to establish? I understand you've got three sort of long-term goals.
Right. Well, I think the big picture goal is that we are hopeful that by the end of this decade, about two-thirds of Utahns of working age will have a credential, a degree, something that says, I have value in the marketplace. It could be a law degree, or it could be a journeyman's certificate that says I'm capable of doing electrical work or plumbing work or whatever. But it is a degree, a credential, a certificate, or some acknowledgement of value in the marketplace. We're hoping that 2/3 of all Utahns will have that by the end of the decade.
And where are we now?
Well, we're probably at about 40%, maybe 45%. Some of the data on this, especially for people that have certificates, not degrees, is just a little bit muddy, and we're working on that. Mm. But we have quite a challenge in front of us. Mm. There's also the fact that today's young people, those 24 to 35, have less educational attainment than those of us that are in the 55 to 64 range. It's kind of startling when you think about it, but if you look at those that have associate degrees or more, bachelor's degrees or more, older citizens have more educational attainment than the younger population.
What's going on there? What do you think some of the... Where is that lag coming from?
Well, there's probably a variety of reasons for it. One of them is that for many years we've had a pretty robust economy, and a lot of young people could come out of high school and get a decent job, especially in areas like the construction industry. And that has kind of lapsed. We just don't have those kinds of opportunities anymore. I think there's been a sense of putting off going to college, getting post-secondary education. I think there are a variety of reasons for it. But when you look at the census data, it's really kind of startling to see that we have a real generation gap here.
We're speaking with Dr. Rich Kendall. He is a former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education. He serves as the education advisor to Prosperity 2020, a group of business leaders who are urging more support, more financial support for education and higher ed in the state of Utah. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Among the other goals, kind of long-term goals that you have, I understand, are third graders reading mm-hmm. at grade level and sixth graders proficient in reading and math. On those two measures, how are we doing right now?
Well, I think Utah does middling well. I mean, I'm complimentary of schools and the effort that's being made. My background is in public education. I started my career as an English teacher, and so I'm, you know, sympathetic and supportive. But the fact is, at the third grade level, we have about 1/3 of our students in the third grade that do not meet the kind of baseline benchmark in reading. Hmm. So we're very concerned about those students that are not at benchmark, and that could be said of mathematics as well. Students who don't get that preparation by the third grade are really at risk of not doing well in school beyond the third grade.
So the gap starts
to
widen.
And I've often said to the business group that I'm working with, kids don't drop out of school in the 11th grade. They start dropping out of school in the third grade. When they get a sense that they're not doing particularly well, they're not proficient readers, math is a real challenge to them. You know, school isn't nearly as much fun as it ought to be. So we're trying to catch kids early and say, let's meet that benchmark. By the end of this decade, we ought to have 90% of the students that can meet that benchmark in reading and mathematics by the third grade, and we ought to be able to sustain it through the sixth grade. By that time, students are kind of branching out into secondary education and can kind of follow their intellectual interests, their vocational interests, whatever. But they can't do it without those skills. Can't do it without that kind of background.
So what's going to keep kids in school? I mean, yes, starting them early, but starting them early in what? How are you going to have a sustained interest in education starting at that young age? What's going to hook them?
Well, I think the key to all of this is just high-quality teaching. I think school is a great experience for the vast majority of young people. And if they can be even marginally successful in school and find it a rewarding experience, I think they'll stay with it. For example, I think a lot of the scientists that we've interviewed, we say, well, where did you get your spark of interest in science? It almost always gets traced back to a teacher, either in the elementary school or a junior high school teacher who said, you know, you got a knack for science and you really ought to pursue it. So I think schooling is just such a rich and rewarding experience, but for young people that don't get properly prepared, it's not. So we've got to work on that to make it a better experience for them.
We're speaking with Dr. Rich Kendall, former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education, and he is the Education Advisor to Prosperity 2020. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Let's go to the phones, and David is with us from Salt Lake. David, hi.
Hi, Dr. Kendall, it's an honor, and I just had a quick question about if you thought the cost of higher education might be a deterrent in a lot of young people these days to be able to pursue a degree. And I wondered what might be able to be done in the state of Utah in particular towards, helping younger students attain their aspirations and degrees, bachelor's degrees, and further on into master's degrees, and what you had to think about that. I don't know if, you know, it's probably always been expensive, but it seems like books and just all the extras that go with going to a university, the cost has just gone through the roof, and I wonder what you have to say about that.
David, thanks for the call, and I think it's a common sentiment that we're hearing a lot about right now is, you know, astronomical tuition. It's just cost prohibitive for a lot of people to get that certificate, right, to get that degree.
Well, what's happened over the last 8 to 10 years is that the Utah legislature has pushed the cost of higher education to individuals. Their assumption has been, you're the primary beneficiary of a college education, not society at large. Therefore, we're going to pay less into higher education. We've had enormous growth in higher education since 2002, but there hasn't been any funding for growth in higher education since then. I don't think you can sustain that over time. So a key part of our agenda with Prosperity 2020 is, one, fund growth. Everything else in Utah is growing, so fund growth. And then, two, for students who can't afford it, we're recommending a robust a success stipend program so that students that qualify for Pell Grants could get state aid as well. So we're starting with a $3 million permanent endowment. We're hoping to add to that every year for 10 years.
David, thanks very much for the call. 801-355-TALK is our number. The synopsis of your plan says current enrollment exceeds 174,000 students in Utah. That's a lot of people. So when you say fund growth, you're not talking about just a few dollars. This is going to be a huge investment. How are you going to pay for it?
Well, growth in higher education, I think we've made a very modest request. We haven't asked for 100% funding of growth. Our budget indicates 60% of growth for the prior year, and so it turns out to be about $10 million. But that amount of money will help the institutions enormously as they try to deal with student demand. Fortunately, the economy has pushed more and more young people and others back into college. That's a very healthy thing. But what has happened is that colleges are having a hard time meeting that demand. If you go down to Utah Valley University, for example, enormous enrollment growth. But students can't get the classes that they want. They can't get the professors that they want.
And that drags out the whole process for years and years.
Drags out the whole process. So instead of taking four to 5 years to get a bachelor's degree, it'll take 6 to 7 years to get a bachelor's degree. And that's just a false economy.
I mean, so what you're saying, if we don't invest in these higher education institutions for them to be able to increase their capacity, their class loads, right, it's not going to work.
It's just a false economy to say, well, we're just not going to fund growth. Because in the end, it costs everybody more to get a college education. And so our goal is to get everybody post-high school into some kind of a program, whether it's a one-year certificate as a licensed practical nurse or a four-year program as an economist.
Your plan also is encouraging students, all high school students, to take the ACT. That's the college entrance exam. Why is this such a priority for your group?
Because one of our goals is to get every student either college or career ready. You either come out of high school prepared for a career and will be a self-sustaining adult, or you're prepared to go on to college. the ACT examinations are the best available tools that we have to say, are you college and career ready? So that's why we're recommending it. We feel like you have to have better measurement of progress, better indications of alignment if you're going to make real progress. So that's why we're suggesting everybody do it.
Speaking of measures, your plan calls for better systems to measure what students know and what help they need to improve. Now, I have to say, you know, Utah students are getting tested all the time. I know my kids are getting tested a lot with the UPass. Their schools are being scored with the adequate yearly progress, AYP thing. So what is wrong with the current testing methods? Aren't we already being assessed as school
Yeah, we
kids?
Are. I will say at the elementary level, we're suggesting that there be kind of some statewide benchmarks at the third grade and sixth grade level in math and reading. And that would replace maybe some of the things that are already being done. And we're recommending a much greater reliance on the ACT at the eighth grade, 10th grade, and 11th grade levels. I acknowledge the testing that's going on, but I think we can do better. I think we can make it more efficient and effective, and that's what we're recommending.
We're speaking with Dr. Rich Kendall. He's former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education, also the Education Advisor to Prosperity 2020. And joining me now on the line is Mark Bouchard. He is the Senior Managing Director of the Salt Lake City office of CB Richard Ellis. It's a global real estate firm. And he's also serving as the Chair of Prosperity 2020. Mark Bouchard, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, from your perspective, why did you get involved in this movement? Why do you think this is so important to put education at the top of the heap?
Well, it's all about our future. A competitive workforce and an alignment between education and our workforce is vital to the future of the state.
And I'm wondering, why is it... Why is the business movement, the business community, rallying around education now? Can you talk about the timing a little bit?
Well, I think, there's always been a great business interest in this state in education. But I think it's waned and it's come and gone from time to time based on priorities. And generally speaking, you tend not to look at things during times of prosperity and when things are good. But certainly the last 3 years has taught us a lot of things about the fragile nature of the U.S. economy and how that impacts Utah. And as we delved deeper into it, saw the need to, build this movement and what we define as really a collaborative effort, not only between the business community, but between, government leaders, our governor, legislative leaders, and the education community.
I'm still curious, though, why education? I mean, it seems to be on the front burner of policymakers like the governor. What makes you think that it's not getting enough attention, I guess, is my question.
Well, certainly when you look at the data, our performance in education has begun to wane when you take a look at it over a 10-year period. Our ability to graduate kids, our ability to get kids through college, the number of kids that are going to college, you combine that with the diversified demographics that are taking place in Utah unparalleled levels when you look back at history. We're becoming a more diverse state. The reality is the business community is the consumer of education services. We take these college graduates and bring them into the workforce. As more and more companies look at Utah, one of the defining measures is the depth of our workforce. And again, as we look at that, we see need for improvement.
I guess that is the underlying assumption there, is that businesses are not finding what they need in the population. Is that part of the concern?
Well, certainly, you know, that's a component of it. I mean, the governor himself has shared stories with the business community and other leaders about various companies in Utah that have, you know, a significant number of job openings but can't find that skilled labor pool within the state to fill those openings. And so, again, that goes back to alignment with our education leaders on what the workforce is actually demanding for the future. The Carnevale study that came out that describes what the needs are going to be, you know, approximately 10 years from now in Utah, with 66% or basically two-thirds of our workforce needing to have some post-high school education, whether it's a trade certificate and or a certain amount of college, again, is a fundamental requirement that, you know, the employers are demanding in the future. And I would suggest the employers are demanding now. And so perhaps one of the best ways to describe this is perhaps we're a little bit more forward-thinking. We're getting out in front of it, more so than some other states might.
Hmm. We're speaking with Mark Bouchard. He's the Senior Managing Director of the Salt Lake City Office of CB Richard Ellis. He's also the chair of the volunteer group Prosperity 2020. Also with us, Dr. Rich Kendall, former Utah Commissioner of Higher Ed and Professor of Education at the University of Utah. We're talking about the Prosperity 2020 proposal, how to invest, why to invest in public education as well as higher ed here in Utah. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255, or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce, and this is City Views. We're talking about a proposal to infuse cash into Utah's education system. It's called Prosperity 2020. It's led by local business leaders and education leaders. Joining me this hour, Dr. Rich Kendall, former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education, who serves as the education advisor to Prosperity 20. He's also a professor of education, leadership, and policy at the University of Utah. And also with us, Mark Bouchard, the Senior Managing Director of the Salt Lake City Office of CB Richard Ellis. He's also serving as the volunteer chair of Prosperity 2020. If you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. What do you think about the Prosperity 2020 plan? Do you think lawmakers will listen? 801-355-TALK is our number. And let's go to the phones. And Jim is joining us from Salt Lake. Jim, hi.
Hi. Great show. The answer to your question is no, I don't think legislators will listen. I think this is the most important issue to face the state. But I think groups like Prosperity 2020 ought to get serious and speak out more loudly. And for example, Adobe came to Utah County, came in with 1,000 jobs, $75,000 a job. And Adobe has, over the next 15 years, another 26,000 jobs to place around the world. The CEO of Adobe told me, you know what, we could care less about property taxes. It's not there. It's education that is going to create those $75,000 clean jobs. And the word is not getting through. Taxes, taxes, lowering taxes at all costs, taxes going down. It's completely disrupted our education system and our ability to compete. Over the last, since 2002, higher ed enrollment is up 26%, funding is down 13%. And I hope groups like Prosperity 2020 will start talking and not pulling their punches and saying, frankly, the real reason all this is happening is because the legislature has been taken over by a group of people that simply don't believe in either public education or higher education. They don't believe it's a function of the government. And we need to stop beating around the bush and say these kind of extremists that have been elected are destroying the infrastructure of the state. And until groups like 2020 have the courage to actually take on the legislature and look them in the face and say you're destroying our education system, nothing is going to change. It takes courage on your part, gentlemen.
Is this Jim DeBacchus?
Yes.
Okay.
The other part is to elect more Democrats who simply care about education.
I really think that's
an issue.
Jim, thanks very much for the call. I just needed to disclose his partisanship. Gentlemen, being more aggressive in your message, Mark Bouchard, can you take that to heart? Is that something that you can rally around and, you know, in order to get the attention of the state legislature and the governor?
Well, I certainly think, you know, messaging is a key component of everything. But I think as a business leader, one of the things that I recognize is that you need to get everybody in the room sitting at a table and having these kind of discussions, that perhaps becoming aggressive to the point of confrontational sends the wrong message about how to get things done. It can't be a win-lose situation. It's got to be a win-win situation for everybody. I would also suggest that it's taken us many years to get to this point. It's going to take us more than a year or two to get away from the traditions of the past. I do think that there are an awful lot of people in the legislature willing to listen to the education story. I think some of the fundamental things that have to take place, though, is like any good private business, you just can't throw money at issues without establishing, you know, goals and objectives and accountability. And that's been a source of discussion with the legislature, is, you know, putting more money into a situation where there isn't a defined goals and objectives and accountability. And that's another thing I think the business community is bringing to the process, is working both with education leadership and the legislature at defining more business-like approaches to this, you know, providing the funding, but also providing greater clarity and accountability of what we're trying to do in terms of creating outcomes. Because this isn't so much about trying to tell educators what to do, or even trying to tell the legislature how to govern, as much as it is creating quality outcomes and defining what those outcomes are, and then creating a process to deliver that. When you do that, then the funding becomes an easier task, because you're investing in something that you can measure. And once you start measuring things, your performance generally improves. And that's one of the things we're advocating.
I'm going to put the question again, though. It seems like our schools are measuring things, and, you know, schools are not businesses. They have a very different client base than what a business would. So I guess, Rich Kendall, the measuring question again, are we not testing our teachers' abilities, performance enough? Are we not testing our students in the right way? When you say you need adequate and more accurate measures, what are we talking about here?
Could I back up just for a minute?
Sure,
I think one of the things that's made this discussion very interesting is the dynamic of a kind of a third party coming into this. This is not the school community going to the legislature and saying we need more money. I think that dynamic has just broken down completely. This is a third party, the business leaders of this state, of the biggest corporations, the biggest employers, going to the legislature and saying, for the sake of our state, for the sake of our economy, you have to invest in education. We're not here asking on behalf of school districts. We're here saying, for the sake of our future, you've got to get serious about this investment. And I think it's changed the dynamic somewhat. I don't think we want to get overboard with this notion of measurement, but what we are saying is that we don't have a good, robust statewide effort right now to determine if those third graders in every class, every school in the state of Utah are really meeting that benchmark. Now, there are some things underway to do that, and we're just saying that that needs to be done, that needs to be supported. One of the biggest parts of our proposal this year is a $23 million request to institute a statewide system of benchmarks that we can use school by school to determine whether third graders are at benchmark. Right now, we use the National Assessment of Educational Progress, and it is just simply a sampling strategy. It doesn't deal with every school. So, yeah, we need measurement, yes. We need accountability, yes. But we need investment to make these systems better, and many of them are lacking in Utah.
Hmm. Mark Bouchard, a lot of the emphasis in the plan is on math and science, boosting math and science teachers, getting kids proficient in these skills, not so much about the arts. What about it?
No, I think that although it's not specifically addressed, I mean, certainly the plan itself talks a lot about STEM initiative. But the arts are absolutely important and an important component to the involvement of these young people. There are no such things as degrees to nowhere. Every degree provides a certain value to a student, whether you have a liberal arts degree or you're in history or other things. All of those things and the evolution that those students go through in attaining those degrees create a certain maturity that's very valuable as they take those opportunities and employ them in their future careers. And so certainly both are important.
So all of your plans, you've got this consortium of people who are rallying around education. All of the plan depends on government leadership. So I guess my final question to you, Mark, would be, do you have champions in the legislative branch, the executive branch, and are you willing to name names at this point?
Well, I think the governor has been a phenomenal champion of education. You know, the Education Excellence Commission has done many good things in its first 2 years. It's got all of the right people at the table, from business to educators to legislative leaders. And so first and foremost, I think our government is showing, or our governor is showing, great leadership in that regard, and that will continue to happen. I also believe that, you know, people in the legislature, again, are rallying around some of these discussions. We are behind the scenes now meeting with legislative leaders on a pretty consistent basis talking about this. Again, this is an issue where the business community is coming in and with a collaborative spirit of working closely with the legislature, working closely with the education community, and developing some of the best thinking and best ideas out there for us to, again, create the kind of outcomes. And, you know, we talk about assessment and we talk about measurement. The other thing that's vital that we don't talk enough about is the kids themselves. Providing, you know, the kids of this state an opportunity to have these futures, and by wisely investing and wisely measuring and doing these kind of things, because they are our future. We have 137 languages spoken in the third grade alone in Utah today. That creates a different dynamic than existed 25 years ago. You know, our ethnic population is growing, again, changing the dynamic of how we need to educate. So I think this robust discussion that's taking place and the leadership that the governor is showing and the leadership that some folks in the legislature are showing are very important components to a successful outcome long term. And as long as we're all sitting at the table and we're talking about this and we're identifying goals and objectives, we're identifying things that we need to do to be better on a collective basis, we will become better. I think what we're doing right now and what Prosperity 2020 has brought to the table is fostering a healthy, ongoing dialogue that will take place for the next 10 years. And in each and every year, I think you're going to see fundamental improvement and some change in how we do things.
Just very quickly, Dr. Kendall, you have built your career around education. What makes Prosperity 20 different from the other plans that you've seen over your extensive experience as an educator?
I think it's the level of business involvement, the diversity of business involvement in this, and the unanimity that this is going to be the strategic investment for Utah's future. It's an enormously powerful and important development for the state.
Dr. Rich Kendall, former Utah Commissioner of Higher Education, serves as the Education Advisor to Prosperity 2020, also a professor of education at the University of Utah. Dr. Kendall, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Mark Bouchard, Senior Managing Director of the Salt Lake City Office of C.B. Richard Ellis, a global real estate firm and the volunteer chair of Prosperity 2020. And Mark, thanks very much for your time today as well.
Well, thank you for having us.
Coming up next, we sadly will not be able to speak with our actor Ted Neely, but we will talk to the director of a local production starring Ted Neely of Jesus Christ Superstar that opens this week. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City.